Understanding the Human Mind. Our progress as a nation can be no swifter than our progress in education. The human mind is our fundamental resource. John F. Kennedy. The universe is like a giant river. Its energy flows through everything. You could say God's energy flows through everyone. Light comes into the eyes, sound waves come into the ears, the wind washes into our faces, salty air tickles our noses. For everything that comes into our bodies, there's usually something that goes out. Light is energy. Sound waves are energy. The wind has energy. Our noses sense particulates floating in the air. When we think to ourselves or have that long internal monologue, it causes energy to flow through our nervous systems, dancing in an internal exchange of information, bouncing to and fro. It is very correct to say that energy of various forms is flowing through our bodies, which act like a riverbed, channeling the energy in various directions to various ends. But what does that mean? What happens to the energy while it's inside our bodies? The definition of transduce is the conversion of energy from one form to another. Take, for example, the invisible progression of energy in and out of your body when you've set up a long trail of dominoes and finally get to set them toppling. A finger touches the top of the first domino and gently presses it over. It falls onto the next domino, then the next, and the next. They pick up speed until eventually it is impossible to hear a single domino. You can only hear a high-pitched buzz as the dominoes race along the floor in a perfect cascade. Then, within your mind, as you watch and listen, you react with delight to both the auditory and visual input. Billions of neurons activating in series until enough electricity can be mustered to fire a neurochemical impulse from your brain to the muscles that control your mouth, tongue, lungs, diaphragm, and vocal cords. The muscles all work in tandem, beginning with the diaphragm, which presses into the lungs. The lungs then contract, allowing the diaphragm to press air in a careful amount out into the esophagus. The vocal cords engage, and at that moment, the electrochemical energy in your body has been transduced into sound wave energy. The tongue, teeth, jaw, throat, and nasal passageways come alive, such that the sound waves coming out of the vocal cords create a specific vibrating waveform in the air. You can feel the transduction of your vocal cords by holding a couple of fingers to the front of your throat. The sound waves travel at the rate of 767 miles per hour through the air to your ear, where its dish-like shape is perfectly designed to receive the sound. The sound waves are shepherded into the inner ear where they vibrate the corti stereo cilia, which are connected to nerves. At this moment, the sound waves are converted back into electrochemical signals which travel along your nerve center and into your brain to the area responsible for receiving and processing sound, after which you perceive or hear, "Awesome! Let's do it again!" Of course, not only is this happening constantly as you go through your day, though maybe not with dominoes, it also happens in a fraction of a second, so quickly it's impossible to perceive all the individual steps when external stimuli sets off an impossibly complicated cascade of events that sometimes only results in the production of one simple word. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, "We are products of our environment." When energy like sound enters the human body, it is perceived, but it also changes the structure of the neurology of the human nervous system. It's why a kid growing up in Germany might say, "Jawohl," while a kid growing up in the U.S. might say, "Heck yeah." Same input, but different output. The brain and nervous system together comprise a massive parallel processing computational device that learns based on experience, contemplation, and sensory input. The connections between neurons are responsible for thought, action, perception, emotion, bias, pleasure, pain, and so on. Neural tuning comes from that first kiss, or when you skinned your knee on your bicycle. Even simple experiences like the smell of popcorn flooding in through the nose. In addition to the connections between neurons, the strengths of those connections can be either inhibitory or excitatory. If a connection from one neuron to another is inhibitory, it prevents the further propagation of an electrochemical signal. For instance, the short-legged frog uses a defense technique of being still. If it detects danger, its inhibitory neurological structure prevents propagation of energy to its limbs. It won't jump away, and its defense is being still. In the case of a trout, its neurological structure triggers an excitatory process, causing it to flee quickly in the presence of danger. Ever try grabbing a trout from a fast-moving stream? Better get a net. As any critter with a brain develops, these connections change in order to adapt to the environment, to learn. When I see the dominoes falling from the previous example, my neurology becomes excitatory and causes me to say, "Awesome." If I had been raised in Germany, I instead might have said, "Fantastisch." The utterance would have been determined by my environment as I developed. Nurture. The people around me saying fantastisch instead of awesome have different brain structures for their words. But the meaning remains the same. Generally, both words mean good. Computer scientists have partnered with neurologists to create software models of how this works. The models represent nodes and connections. This is referred to as a neural network, learning or machine learning. The connections between neurons in the human brain are being modeled in software. It takes a lot of software and computer power to store just one brain-like concoction, even while some academic seekers claim the phenomenon is divine. Many different things can be taught to a person through their senses, which determines much about their morality, their disposition towards sex, their ability to learn, practices with diet, and a litany of other factors affecting human development. Even with these machine brains, the computer science community is still unable to fully describe how they function. The human brain also remains largely a mystery. Although discoveries and breakthroughs happen with increasing regularity as more resources are invested to create computer models of people and try valiantly to cheat death. What a person is exposed to from an early age determines much about who they will become. This is why schools are so important and parents should keep a close eye on what happens in them. Around the turn of the century, a London company called Pearson acquired National Computer Systems, NCS. NCS was headquartered in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and had more than 20% market share in U.S. public schools who used software to help them manage the back offices. Pearson acquired a team in Mesa, Arizona to leverage NCS market share to sell its own software to deliver educational materials to U.S. schools. The educational software market is very profitable, and if the wrong material makes it into the classroom, the way that people think can be fundamentally changed. The culture of a country can be altered in just a few generations. Pearson's plan was designed so that it could change the educational standards that were being delivered. Inherently, the system would take power away from teachers to decide what to teach and shift that power to an unnamed group of people who controlled the standards. Changing the database changed the curriculum. Changing the curriculum changed the educational material exposed to the student minds in the schools where the software was used. Changing those minds could alter the course of the nation. In effect, London was making a business play to take over the minds of U.S. school children. The homeschool movement in the U.S. started in the 1970s with around 13,000 students. In the 1980s, the number reached around 200,000. In the 1990s, it reached around 850,000. In the 2000s, it reached around 1,500,000. In the 2010s, it reached around 1.7 million. It's now estimated to be around 5 million in the U.S. as of 2024. However, if homeschoolers turn around and just end up using the same prepackaged systems to educate their children, the same problems can rear up. Parents are faced with the gargantuan task of standing up to a thoughtless, greedy system that haphazardly applies technology without concern or thought to the continuity of the culture, language, and borders of the United States. The minds of the children can be programmed to surrender their birthrights, for example. Consider what became the three most important axioms in our homeschool as you progress through the educational experience with your family. First, get the food and water right. Second, limit the bad influences and distractions. Third, make sure that the most important lesson that you drill over and over is that ultimately your children are responsible for learning and discernment themselves, of becoming lifelong learners. Parents of children should consider carefully before turning their kids over to this kind of polymorphic global education system. Distribution of education through homeschool strategy protects our young people from such a dastardly mind reprogramming device. The family farm model, despite its flaws, creates an optimal biological equilibrium for learning and human development that allows individuals to self-adapt skills and ventures dynamically to meet market and economic needs. But it can likely only progress if homeschool and family education consortiums coordinate to secure more funding for parents, as the internet can simultaneously deliver educational content while spying on everyone in the house down to the insides of their bones.